2 Kings chapter number 4. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. Notice the Bible said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Let's pray. Our Father, thank you again for allowing us to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. We are grateful again for your kind mercies and the grace of God that has been extended to us. And Lord, as we stand here again tonight before your people, Lord, we know that we stand in need of your help, in need of your touch. You said that without you we're nothing, and we know that's true. Lord, we know it because you said it. We know that also, Lord, by experience, God, that we can do nothing without your help. So please, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would minister in every one of our hearts and our minds and our lives tonight. God, I pray tonight that you'll stir us to the glory of God. I pray, Lord, for that soul that might be here that needs the Lord. I pray that the light of the gospel will shine brightly in their heart. Lord, that they might see their great need tonight and trust the Lord Jesus and who He is and all that He has done on our behalf. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm interested tonight in verse number 2 in particular. We'll notice that Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. I want to preach for a little while tonight on what's in the house. What's in the house? I think all of you probably, if you've been in church very long, you have heard oil compared to the work of the Holy Spirit, or as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we notice the high priest was anointed with oil, representing the power of the Spirit of God that he was to labor in. And there's a lot of symbols of the Spirit in the Bible. The wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. A dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Fire is a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. And there's many of them. But I want to look at this little pot of oil tonight, if I can, for a little bit. Let me say, just getting off started here, that you cannot minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we need to understand, and I think we do, that the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son are God. There's, of course, not three gods, but our God is manifest in three persons. Somebody came up to me not long ago and said, Preacher, could you explain the Trinity to me? And I looked at him kind of cross-eyed and I said, you have got to be kidding. I said, explain the Trinity. I said, you know, that would be a difficult task. There's no simple explanation. But we have a great God who is manifest in three persons. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all three equally God. Amen. And as a matter of fact, the Spirit of God has been active in God's plan and program from the very beginning. In the creation, the Holy Spirit was active. The Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there would have been no creation apart from the work of the Spirit. And then there would be no inspiration. We'd have no Bible tonight were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, the Bible says that concerning the Virgin Mary in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, that which was born of her was born of the Holy Spirit or conceived of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God overshadowed her. And so our Lord would have not come into this world apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He was active in inspiration, in creation, in the incarnation. He was active in salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is a spiritual birth of the Holy Ghost of God. Then we know that He is active in the work of intercession, that we could not pray and reach the throne of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit Himself makes groanings and intercessions that cannot be uttered. And so I'm grateful tonight for the great work that the Spirit of God does in and through our hearts and lives. But as I look at this little story that we've read tonight, of course we find a woman in dire strait. She's in a difficult situation. I think she is certainly dealing with a tremendous financial problem because her husband has died and he's left her with a tremendous debt. And she doesn't know how she's going to pay it. Not only is she facing a financial trouble, but I think she's having some emotional problems here because she's lost her husband. And certainly that would be a very emotional issue to deal with. And not only the loss of her husband, but the creditor is now threatening to come and take her two sons to be bondmen till the debt is paid. And so now she's lost her husband. And now there's the possibility that her two sons may be taken away from her. Not only do I think that this is an emotional problem and a financial problem, but I believe she's dealing also with a spiritual problem. You'll notice what she said here. Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now, here's the problem, that age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people? This man was not some derelict. This man loved God. He feared God. He was a servant of God. And apparently, he's died at a relatively young age if he's left two sons at home. And maybe we want to ask the question, well, why? This man feared God. This man served the Lord. I wonder why the Lord chose to take him out at such an early age. Don't you imagine that she had to grapple with those kind of questions that were going through her heart and mind? So this was a difficult situation. And she comes to the man of God and approaches him concerning this situation. The Bible said she cries out to the man of God. And Elisha, God's man, he says to her, what shall I do for thee? And then he asked this question, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "The only thing that I've got in the house is just this little pot of oil." Well, I want to say three things tonight. The Lord would help me about this pot of oil. And I want to liken it to the person of the Spirit of God. What do you have in the house? And you know that the Lord many times refers to our house, our body, as being a house, or as being a temple, as being a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. So let me say this tonight. I want to say that I believe this pot of oil in the house is representative of the presence of the Spirit of God, or the comforting work of the Holy Ghost. The presence of God's Spirit, or the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, we've given you a little description of the situation that she's in. And it seems like that she feels destitute. She feels like she's been left with nothing. She feels like that here I am now, left without any help, without any hope, without anywhere to turn. What am I going to do? But when Elisha asked this question, he says, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" It's like she has minimized something, or she has overlooked something that's been there all along. And I believe tonight that that certainly represents the presence of God's Spirit in our life. You see, Jesus left us many years ago. He told His disciples, He said, "I've got to go away. I'm leaving you." And He went to Calvary and He died. But I want to tell you something tonight. He didn't leave us destitute, and He didn't leave us all alone. Amen. He didn't leave us without hope, and He didn't leave us without help. Praise God. He said, "For if I go away, I will send you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." There's somebody, He said, "that shall be with you, and He shall be in you." Praise God. I believe many times we make the same mistake that this little woman made. We get in dire situations. Maybe it's financial trouble. Perhaps it's emotional problems. Maybe it's spiritual problems. And we begin to feel destitute. We begin to feel without resource. We begin to think we're without hope, with nowhere to turn, that our situation is desperate, when perhaps we've made the same mistake that this little woman made. All the while, there is a presence in the house. Amen. There is someone who is there that was given to us to comfort us during this situation. Thank God we've got a comforter. Jesus said, "I'll send you another comforter." Oh, what does that mean? Well, I read once an old man of God made a statement something like this. He said, "Well, the Holy Spirit to the Christian is just what Jesus would be if He was here Himself." Amen. I like that explanation. The Holy Spirit is just what Jesus would be if He was here Himself. He's there. He's present. He's in the house. Amen. You know, the Bible said, "Know ye not, you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Paul said, "Know ye not." You know, I think sometimes we know it, but we don't know it. We know it, but we don't rely upon Him. We know it, but we don't lean on this great resource. We don't look to this great resource. Somehow He's there, but we underestimate Him. We underestimate His power. And we underestimate His ability. And we underestimate the great resource that God has given to you and I as His people. I'm glad we've not been left all alone. Listen, this woman soon discovered that she had been left one resource that would prove sufficient to meet every need she had. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm glad for that person tonight. The Holy Spirit of God. Oh, yes. And so I believe this little pot of oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then I believe tonight that it represents the provision or the supply of the Spirit of God. The provision or the supply of the Holy Ghost. Now, the big problem in her eyes was this debt that she owed. And but you know, we need to understand tonight that as bad as a material debt is, there are other debts. There are other debts. As a matter of fact, you and I tonight are greatly indebted in several areas. And I'm not talking about your house payment and the light bill and all that kind of stuff right now. But what I'm referring to are some debts that we owe that we cannot face without some help. For one thing, we owe God something. Every one of us tonight, we owe something to God. As a matter of fact, we owe Him obedience. We owe Him obedience. The Bible said, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now if He is Lord, then we owe Him obedience. Amen. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In essence, He's saying, no need to call me Lord if you're not going to obey me. Amen. Now, but here's the question. We live in an old body of flesh, don't we? Huh? Brother Bob was sharing a thought with me yesterday. What was it, Bob? The flesh at its best is a mess. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. The flesh at its best is a mess. And here's the thing. Even though we're saved, we still live in a body that's tainted, amen. An earthly, fleshly body that is decaying, and this earthly body is contrary to everything that God is for. I'm going to tell you something. Anything you do for God, you're going to spite of this clay tabernacle that you dwell in. Oh yeah, you'll do it in spite of it if you do it. And it's going to war against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary, the one to the other. And so here's the question. Here we live in a body of flesh. We live in a corruptible body, and yet we've been commanded to obey God. How in the world is that going to happen? Paul said it like this, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're going to obey God, we've got to have some help, and we've got to have the Holy Spirit of God working through us, amen, for that to be accomplished, to be a reality. You're going to have some help. I'm going to have some help. The most frustrating thing in the world is to watch somebody that's saved, or let me put it this way, not to watch somebody that's saved, but let me put it like this. The most frustrating thing in the world is for a Christian to try to live the Christian life in the energy of human flesh. You're talking about frustrating. It's frustrating. And I'll tell you, that's why a lot of people get frustrated and they fall out of the race and they quit and they just give up. Because they're going about it totally the wrong way. Now, you'll never please God in the efforts of human flesh. We have to die to ourselves and die to this old flesh and yield to Christ and let it be Christ in you. Amen. As Paul said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. We must die to the self-life and let Jesus live through us. That's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, we'll never pay God the debt we owe without the Spirit of God and His help. Then there's something else. We owe each other something. You say, well, preacher, I didn't think we owe... Oh, yeah, we owe each other something. You say, what is that? Paul said in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. He said, when we love, we fulfill the law. We owe each other love. Well, I can tell that went over real good. Huh? Well, let me put it like this. When Jesus was asked one day what was the greatest commandment, what was His answer? He said, the greatest is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But He said, the second is like unto it. thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now come on, can we get down to earth just a little bit, right down where we live, and be honest for a little bit? I'm going to be honest with you. I've met some people I didn't even like, let alone try to love them. I mean, I'm just trying to tell you the truth, all right? You say, well, what do you do, preacher? I'll tell you what I've had to do sometimes. I've had to say, dear Lord, I'm having a hard time loving this person. Would you love them through me? Lord, would you do through me what I can't do myself? Now, you know, we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, all the problems you'll ever have in a church can be traced back to a failure to keep the second commandment. All of our problems in our relationships with one another. You know what makes us jealous of one another, envious of one another, backbite one another, or gossip about one another? It all can be traced back to a failure to keep the second commandment. Listen, if I love you like I love me, there's no need for me to be jealous of something you have that I don't have. If I love you like I love me, I'll be just as happy for you to have it as if I had it. It wouldn't make any difference. But the reason I get the old green monster, and the reason I get jealous, is because down deep inside I think I deserve it more than you do. Huh? Envy, jealousy. God help us. You know, sometimes every pastor, you know, I pastored for about 18 years altogether, I guess. You know, when I think about it, I've seen folks sometimes, you know, if you get up sometime, maybe a preacher, you don't mean nothing by it, but sometimes a pastor will get up and in his conversation making announcements, he'll just happen to think about something nice somebody in the church did, you know. Maybe they came out and mowed the lawn, or maybe they trimmed the hedges, or maybe they did something, you know. And he'll say, oh, and by the way, boy, brother so-and-so, boy, you did a nice job. We sure do appreciate what you did, you know. But you know, sometimes, let's just call that one Brother Smith. But over here in the corner somewhere sits Brother John. And his wheels go to spinning. And here's what he's thinking. Well, you know, I went out there and painted them three Sunday school classes about 3 weeks ago, and I spent 4 days and nights out there, and he never mentioned me in front of the church. And you know, it might be the preacher never thought about it, or it didn't cross his mind at that time, whatever the reason. But you know, the old devil, he's really working on you. Well, he got up and he praised Brother Smith. He didn't never brag on me. But you know what our problem is? If we love Brother Smith like we love ourselves, we'd be just as glad he got the praise as if we got it. But the problem is, we love old number one so good. Truth ain't. Sure it's the truth. Now let me ask you something. Listen, let's get right down to where we live, all right? Y'all don't care if I come down here, do you? Is that all right? If I'm going to love you just like I love me, I'm going to need some help. Are y'all with me? Hey, if I'm going to love anybody just like I love me, I got to have help. You hear what I'm saying? I need help. So where is that coming from? What you got in the house? How you going to pay that debt? Well, what's in the house? Huh? What's in the house? Then let me say this. We owe the gospel to those that haven't heard. Jesus said what? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How in the world am I going to do that? As a matter of fact,
How am I going to successfully be a witness to my next door neighbor? I need some help. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said. I'm just saying to you tonight, we owe a lot of debts. We're indebted like this little woman. But we've not been left destitute. We've not been forsaken. There's someone in the house, if you will, that is sufficient to supply the need that we have. The problem is, we underestimate Him or overlook Him. And we don't trust Him and rely upon Him and depend upon Him as a resource. Now, I believe this pot of oil not only represents the presence of the Holy Spirit or the comfort of the Spirit, it represents the provisions of the Holy Spirit, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But I believe it also represents the potential or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot said a lot of times about being filled with the Spirit. I think sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding about the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You'll notice what was said to this woman, the instructions that Elisha gave her. You'll notice that he said, I want you to go borrow some vessels. And he said, I don't want you to borrow just a few. In essence, I want you to go and I want you to get every vessel that you can find. Go to your friends. Go to your neighbors. Everywhere you can think of. Get all the vessels that you can get. Now, what is that all about, do you reckon? Go borrow a bunch of vessels? Well, you see, at the present time, the oil is there. But it's confined to a very small area. It's in a little pot. And we're not talking about a wash pot here. We're talking about a small pot. Sometimes it's even referred to in the Bible as a cruse. It's just a small pot. And it's confined to a small area. Now what Elisha is really instructing her to do and what this undertaking is all about is basically she's getting ready to provide some room for this oil to expand and to multiply. She's getting ready to turn this oil loose, if you will. She's getting ready to let this oil occupy a greater space. She's beginning to make some room for the oil. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. There ain't no question about it. If you're saved, He's there. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when God saved us, He gave us the Spirit of His Son came into our heart, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. One of the ways you can know that you're saved is that down inside your soul, down in the depth of your very being, there is someone constantly that is crying out to God. He came in there, and He's present, and He cries to the Father, making groanings and intercessions that we can't even utter. I mean, when you get saved, it's hard to keep from praying. Because when something happens and something's taken place, it comes almost like breathing down from the depth or something that says, Oh Lord, Oh God, Oh Father. It's down in there. He's present. Here's the thing. The point I'm making is if you're saved, You have the Holy Spirit. And let me make this statement. You have all of the Holy Spirit that you will ever get. The problem is, the Holy Spirit many times doesn't have all of us. We've got Him there, hemmed up in one little area, one little corner, one little confined place, and we say, okay, Lord, You can have this part of my life, but don't move in these other areas. That's mine. I'll show up and do my duty Sunday morning, but don't ask me for any more. Or, Lord, I'll do thus and so, but don't interfere in this other part of my life. That's off limits. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Spirit doesn't want one little corner of your life or one little crevice or one little space. He wants all the places. He wants all the spaces. He wants all of our life. He wants to fill all of this vessel. So what He's saying is, make some room for that all. Is it not true? I'd have to confess tonight, I think there's times I've crowded Him out. I think there's times I've pushed Him aside. I think there's times I've not given Him full right away. Notice He specified empty vessels. We all know you can't fill a vessel with something if it's full already of something else. In order to get a vessel filled with something, you have to empty it of what's already there. God can't fill me if I'm full of myself. You know, I have more trouble with the man I look at in the mirror every morning than anybody else in the world. And I'm not just saying that to have something to say. I honestly mean that. Self. But you know, when I'm full of myself, it's hard to get full of the Spirit. Or when I'm full of pride. Or God forbid, if I'm full of sin. You know, if we're full of anything we ought not to be, God can't fill us. We've got to get empty. And notice this took place in a private place. He said, you get these vessels, you go home. And He said specifically, He said or that she went from Him and shut the door upon her and her son. This emptying and filling process is not something that takes place in public, it will take place in private. We get alone with God. We get emptied out of ourself and our pride and our sin and all of these things. And then God can take over all these areas of our life. The oil begins to flow out. Amen. We get filled. That's the potential. That's the potential. And she met her obligations on the outside from the supply she got while on the inside. In just a little while, that little bit she had became a whole lot. Amen. Fullness of the Spirit. What a need there is in our lives to get alone with God. Let the Lord empty us out. Allow the Lord to take full control. That's simply what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Years ago, if they caught somebody driving drunk, they called it driving under the influence. In other words, they were being controlled by a power beyond themselves. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We literally are living under His powerful influence, working in and through our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I was listening to Dr. John Smith preach a sermon up in West Virginia. He pastors a Tees Valley Baptist Church there in Hurricane, West Virginia. Brother Smith was telling about taking a trip to New York many years ago, and he was down on Manhattan Avenue, and he said he's always been one of these, what he called like a necktie freak. He just loves neckties and collects them. I want to say more power to you, brother. I always feel like I got a noose around my neck. Amen. But anyway, he likes neckties. And he saw this tie in the shop window there on Manhattan Avenue he really liked. And so he went in and he asked the shopkeeper about the tie. He said, I want to buy that tie you got hanging there in the window. Shopkeeper said, no, can't have it. He said, what do you mean I can't have it? You'd have to know Brother John. He's a pretty good-sized fella, to say the least. And he said, what do you mean I can't have it? He said, just what I said, it's not for sale. He said, it's the only one I've got like that. And he said, that tie is for display only, and there's no more in the stock room. Brother John said, I left kind of disgusted, but he said, as I got going down the way, he said, I thought about what that man said. For display only, and there's no more in the stockroom. And he said, I got to thinking about how much of our Christianity today is for display only, and there's no more in the stockroom. Where are we going to get stocked up, preacher? You're going to have to go to the stock room. Amen. Find you a place where God can empty you out and then fill you with His Spirit. I heard a preacher friend make this statement years ago, and I think it bears repeating, and I'll be done. He said, you can no more live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit than you could become a Christian without Christ. Let me just read that again. You can no more live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit than you could become a Christian without Christ. If you think you're going to make it in the energy of this old flesh, forget it. You'll never make it. Don't forget what Elisha said. What you got in the house. You're not destitute. There's someone living in there that has the power not only to enable you to meet the debt you owe right now, but I'm telling you, He said, and live thou and thy children of the rest. He's not only sufficient for you to meet the obligation you face right now, but He's sufficient for anything you ever will face from here on out. Question tonight. Not what, but who's in the house? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time to be here tonight. Thank You for the precious Holy Spirit of God.